Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're going to be reading today from part three of Here I Am, a piece of literature that I've written, I think it was back in 2002. The Lord gave it to me. And we also have some letters and some calls into our phone room that I think that you'd love to hear. And right now, let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. And I pray that every one of you are in the Lord's rest in His Sabbath, because you won't have any power unless you're in His rest, and in His, which is the same as being in His Sabbath. Now, Father, we thank You, and I thank You, Lord, for having the power that You've given me, because I rest in Your Sabbath. I'm in Your Sabbath. And Your Word states that this is where we receive our power, is when we're resting from our old works, the works of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's so many people that are up and down, and they believe that they're Christians, but people sin when they're not in your rest in Your Sabbath, because they don't have the power to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We must, the Lord said, be resting in Him. He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." In other words, I'll give you Sabbath for your souls. Now, the true believer's Sabbath is 365 days out of every year, because the minute you get away, you walk out of the Sabbath, there's so many demons, seducing spirits, so many devils that will come at you, and you're out of the Sabbath, out of God's rest. And the Word plainly says that that's where our power is. And so you don't have any power when you're out of the Lord's rest. When the psalmist David was resting in God's Sabbath on a continuous basis, he was able to have power over committing adultery with somebody else's wife. But for a moment, a brief moment, he got out of the Lord's Sabbath, out of his rest, and everything that he had was taken away from him. His victory, the power of God. And God was no longer with him as he was before. And the psalmist David had to crawl into eternity because he left the Sabbath. He left the Lord's rest. We must be baptized into the Lord's rest, into His Sabbath. We must be fully immersed into the Holy Spirit, into the place where Jesus sits. The Bible says that those of us that are in His rest, in His Sabbath, we are sitting with Him in heavenly places, and we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and are able to do all things in Jesus, our rest, our Sabbath. We must not get out of the Sabbath, because if we do, we're going to sin, and there's no sin that shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So many people that are not in the rest or Sabbath of the Lord say that no one is perfect. Well, they aren't, and they think that everybody is like them. It's just like every liar thinks everybody is a liar. Every adulterer thinks that everyone is an adulterer. Every thief thinks and liar thinks that everyone else is a thief and a liar. But that isn't true. Many people today think that every Christian is phony, because there's so many people that say they're Christians and they're not. And they do everything that the people of the world do. They live just exactly as the people of the world do, and some of them are even worse, because seven more devils have entered into them, and it's impossible. Their condition before they were saved is sevenfold times worse than it was from the first. The Bible tells us that we don't always stay saved, once saved, always saved. The Bible says if we were saved and we go back out into the world, we're like dogs and hogs. Dogs that have gone back to their vomit, and hogs that have gone back to their wallowing in the mire. The Lord cleanses us. He washes us with his precious blood, and we receive that blood by faith. Because once we're washed in the blood from our former sins, then we are clean. And once we're in God's rest, in his Sabbath, then we're in the Spirit, in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Being in the Lord's rest, being in his Sabbath, is the same as being in the Holy Spirit. It is also the same as being perfect. If we're in the Holy Spirit, we're still going to look the same to people, and we might make mistakes, but not spiritual mistakes. We're not going to sin. Only if we decide, we start looking at the world like Lot's wife did. She started looking back at the world instead of following Lot and not looking, and the two daughters and not looking backward. She looked back at the world. And those of us that are Christians are not to look back at the world, because when we do, then we leave the Lord's rest. She lusted. She was grieved that she had to leave the area of Las Vegas, Palm Springs area. I'm not saying that everybody in Las Vegas or Palm Springs are that way at all. Because, like, Sue and I lived there for quite a while, and we never took part at all in that carnival. We'd go in there and witness to people when the Lord would open the door. But we primarily stayed outside the carnival. Carnival's out on the outskirts of the town, on the strip in downtown area. But we would testify, and we would go to, we'd have church services, and we would pray, and we would fast. And there are some people in Las Vegas that do that. It was surprising to me the amount of people in Las Vegas that really are devout people of the Lord. Hopefully they stay saved. I knew Robert Aguirre from the Four Square Church. He said, I believe that he was one of the strongest Christians that I've ever known in my life. And they say he looked back, and for some reason or another, it was because of him that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And no one in Foursquare will even want to talk about him, because he caught AIDS. And he was a handsome-looking man, and he had a beautiful wife, very cute wife. And he left her, and I don't know if he went on drugs and caught AIDS, or if he had sex with somebody that had AIDS, or what. But it's for sure that he left the Lord's rest, his Sabbath. And it doesn't make any difference how strong you once were. One of the strongest ministers that I ever saw in my life, I just used to love to listen to him minister. He was full of fire. And that was Robeson. What's his first name? James Robeson. Oh, he was so good. I used to like to turn him on. And then all of a sudden, he stated he always admired the female anatomy. And I noticed he started talking to strictly women on his shows. Once in a while, he'll throw in a man. And he's just, there's no fire there anymore. He collects money. He does that, and he does some good works. And I send money. And I just also specify, give it to those black kids over in Africa, the ones that need water wells, and the ones over there that are hungry, and bought trucks and opened many water wells, send them money for many water wells over there. But he's just, something's wrong. He's not the same. And so it seems as though he has fallen away, and he's doing... it doesn't seem like he can preach the gospel anymore. He doesn't have the anointing, but he does collect funds like the Catholic cult does to feed people, and they'll do that if you're Catholic. The Catholics do. If you're not, well, in Mexico we hear people, and we have a letter to read from Mexico today of how that some of the people, there's a lot of radical Catholics, not all of them by any stretch of the imagination. Of course it's a cult because they're into the most horrible false doctrine, and a lot of people don't realize their laity, and they don't realize that they're in the actual Antichrist cult. It's the most dangerous cult in the world. Well, we have a letter today that tells of a bunch of them, rebellious ones, that went out and hacked true Christians to death with machetes. And of course that's been done by a lot of their radicals for years. True Christians would, I mean, if you're a Catholic, all we're going to do is preach the gospel to you and tell you that you must get into the Lord's Sabbath to rest from that sort of stuff. Murder, rape, all kinds of different sin, stealing, all these things, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, all these things, they do. They don't believe in a divorce, but they believe it's all right to go out and have sex. But this is not the Lord. So it's a cult, and they worship idols and so on. And you'll, I'm sure, be enlightened when you hear this letter that we're going to read of some friends of this man. But Lord, we ask that the friends of this man, the Lord wants me to continue this, who were hacked to death because they were Catholics and they got saved and they started preaching the gospel in the area, and after many warnings they didn't stop. And those of us that are really into the rest or Sabbath of the Lord, we're never going to stop. So what they did is send people in at night from the Vatican, and they hacked them to pieces. True Christians would never do anything like that. They themselves know that they're a political cult. They're the most dangerous in the world. All right, so Father, we ask that you anoint the message this evening, or this early morning, now it is, on the 4th of January, 2006. Anoint, open, let souls be saved and the church be strengthened by everything that's done on this tape. Let it be straight from your throne, Father, that this may occur. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From a witnessing line response from Los Angeles, California. Marta Mejia, the mother of Ivan, who just moved in.
Moved into our church in Los Angeles. Okay, because the people in Radio Land won't know where he moved into. Says, who just moved in. Okay, then what?
She called to thank you for all you've done and the Lord has done through this ministry for her son. He can't stop telling her how happy he is to be in the ministry and serving the Lord. As you may already know, both Marta and her husband, Carlos, have been distributing your literature for a couple of years now, and they both believe this contributed to the Lord seeing fit to save their son and giving him a desire and a place to serve the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay, the next letter.
This is from Creel, Mexico. Dear Pastor Lamo, praise the Lord and thank you for your help.
This is the letter I was telling you about, folks. Go ahead.
We were humbled to learn you had read our letter on your radio broadcast. What an honor indeed, but to Christ be the glory forever. Sir, we do not have a permanent mailing address in Mexico, as things there are fluid, and we are always on the move. Currently, we are in Texas traveling to Florida, keeping this truck moving to raise money via our salaries, while Robert distributes literature and preaches the word in Mexico. 100% of our salaries goes into the effort in Mexico, less what little we need to survive here in the U.S. We hope and pray to rejoin him on the battlefield no later than April. It just takes time to garner the money to keep even a small organization such as ours afloat. Our prayer is to soon be able to rejoin him permanently when funds allow. It is sad to think of our Savior's Vineyard being coupled with money, but gas, maintenance, insurance, and daily rations are redundant expenses, and this need must be met before we're able to get off this truck.
Yeah, these are soul winners, and that's why God says when you don't give tithes to keep people like this going, then you're robbing God of souls. And the Lord, that's what he came and died for, is that human souls would be saved. And so we have many distributors that really are anxious to get out and win souls. And now they're having to get off the front lines there in Mexico and start trying to raise some money to keep themselves out there in the gospel field. We sent them many hundreds of dollars, and if you people would like to know where they're at and you want to send it directly to them, that's fine with me, because we really want to see them continue on there in Mexico. There's a lot of precious souls that the Lord died for there. Okay, continue on.
Christ said, count the cost. But in America, your literature is making an impact also. We distribute your literature in rest areas, truck stops, and to a seemingly inexhaustible number of Catholic truck drivers in Texas, California, Florida, and Georgia. Robert gives a spectacular performance. He is bilingual, totally dedicated to Christ, fearless and trustworthy. He's under constant pressure from the Catholic behemoth and its congregation, but he never takes a step backward. He is developing a local network of repentant former Catholic laypersons to spread the word via your literature. This movement is meeting much resistance from the openly gay Catholic priest in Creole. Would it be a sin on our part to take some comfort knowing as a team we are inflicting misery on this priest?
Well, it should comfort your heart that it is causing misery to the demons that are living in those people. Now, a lot of people say, we were born that way. Well, that's all the reason that they need to be born again of the Spirit. But they weren't born that way. This is a demon that attacks little children, little babies even, and enters them because they don't really have any defense. And they actually think that they were born homosexuals. But the Lord promises, if you come unto him, cry out to him, he will not turn you away. And his Spirit will enter your body, and he'll give you the power, because you'll be in his Sabbath or his rest, to conquer every demon, not only homosexuality, but fornications, lying, stealing, thieving, lesbianism, adultery, everything. Every sin, because the power of God is actually holding up the entire universe. And how much more will he hold you up when his Spirit enters your body and mingles with your temporal spirit? When his eternal spirit mingles himself with your temporal spirit, then you become eternal. And therefore, the religion cannot save your soul. Only the Spirit of the living God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he ascended into heaven, the Bible says that all power in heaven and on earth was given to him. This was even before the foundation of the world, because it is written that Christ, the Word of God, created everything, that there is nothing that was not created by him. So when his Spirit with the Father, by the Spirit, enters your body and your miserable spirit, then your spirit immediately is ignited into action. It becomes resurrected from deadness unto eternal life, immortality. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the Bible says that when that happens, you become a son of God. And therefore, the Lord, you know, the Lord has never called any angels son, but you, by virtue of Christ with his Father by the Spirit living in you, are a son of God, a member of the body of Christ, the corporate body of Christ. There are many members in that body, just as there are many members in the corporate body of Satan. So the Spirit dwells in all unsaved people, spirit of Satan. And there's so many preachers that just say all of us are going to be in heaven. That is not true. Only those that the Spirit of God has entered into, Spirit of Christ with the Father by the Spirit, and those that remain in the Spirit, in the corporate body of Christ, into Christ's rest or Sabbath, and they're faithful and do that, continue to tank up, fill up with the Lord's Spirit on a daily basis, and continue on to the end. Only those who continue to the end in the Lord's Sabbath or his rest shall be saved. The Bible says, those who continue to the end shall be saved. And that means continue walking not after the law of sin and death, but after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. All right, so let's continue with the letter.
We pray he will repent. Pastor Alama, we place all of our funds into our LAMS account and then distribute as needed to Robert. The banks in Mexico, especially rural and small town areas, such as Creel, are very unstable and certainly have no government insurance, such as FDIC. Losing money in Mexico cannot be cured, only prevented. We are certain the local Catholic clergy also has a huge influence on the local economy and the bank in Creel. In our absence, we leave Robert enough cash to keep things going, and if he runs short, a family member of his in Texas acts as courier and delivers more. In our part of Mexico, no one accepts a check or credit card, and cash is about the only available medium of exchange. The courier in Texas also delivers Bibles, your literature, and other necessities monthly. Pastor Lamo, as you know, we've divested ourselves of all earthly possessions. Our life, our being through Christ, is in Mexico and the lost Catholic masses. We are frontline foot soldiers totally dedicated to trench warfare against the Vatican and anything else which attempts to dilute the blood of Christ with a false god or co-savior.
See, being against the Vatican is the same thing as being against the Antichrist or the devil, because the devil's spirit is living in all the members of the corporate body of Satan, the Antichrist. And so what he means is they're against Satan, they're against the Vatican, because the Bible states that all the abominations that this the Lord calls the Vatican, the mother of harlots, or now the mother of whores, the great, the grand whore, the mother of every abomination on earth. Now, an abomination is the most vile of sins. So every vile sin that you see, like these cantinas in all the border towns in Mexico and all the pornography and everything that's being done in Mexico, Central and Central America and South America and all over the world, in the United States, always you can trace that there's Catholic, some kind of Catholicism behind it. And these people, that even the Pope, they tried to indict him for being a child molester of boys. He's a homosexual and child molester. He cannot be prosecuted because they say he's the Pope. Well, that is showing favoritism in the youth. And our Constitution here in America states that the government is not supposed to honor any religion. But all of a sudden they say, well, we're also a country, and so we demand immunity from all crime. So they can come over here and rape your wife. As a matter of fact, I heard a bunch of marshals saying they're not going any longer to the UN for UN duty in New York, because those people from Rome, this Catholic cult leaders come in and they pinch their wives on their bottoms and grab them and try to rape them, and they can't be charged with rape. I mean, you know, you'd have to go there to see it, to believe it. They can get traffic tickets, they can park their car right in the middle of the street, and they're immediately quashed. There's nothing to it any longer. So this is a vile organization, and this country, the United States of America, has become so Catholic that we're actually fighting wars that the Vatican has instigated, and we're taking over countries for the Vatican. Now, this sort of stuff, telling you these things, is the very reason that President Bush picked up the phone and called one of his judges and said, and the different police departments, and had myself arrested. I was a political prisoner, and they brought in false witnesses, and I was they said I was committing Internal Revenue Service crimes, and so they sentenced me. I couldn't even testify in the court. They said, nope, you can't bring your witnesses in, but they brought the string. They took people out of prison even to testify against me falsely. So I went to prison for the gospel's sake, and that was all right because, again, I live in the Sabbath of the Lord. I'm in Christ's rest, in his Sabbath. And therefore, I was able to also win souls in prison. I won a lot of Muslims and a lot of criminals that otherwise would be out on the streets now killing again, murdering people, raping them, and I won them to the Lord in there. And many of them communicate with me to this very day in letter and on phones, and they, many of them are in the ministry now, and yeah, in Mexico and here in the United States and in Colombia and other places. I've met a bunch of those drug people and led them to the Lord as well. So anyway, go ahead and continue here.
Pastor Lamo, please understand we do not take anything for granted. We are acutely aware all that what you and your staff do comes at great cost, both financially and physically. Rest peacefully, knowing each dollar and item you send will be consumed in our Savior's vineyard. We will not so much as purchase a bag of peanuts for ourselves with your funding. It is accounted to a servant to be faithful. Again, a heartfelt thanks to you and all the people at Tony Alamo Christian Ministry. We have been informed a family located approximately 200 miles south of Creel broke away from the Catholics this summer. They started their own church. Despite repeated warnings from the Catholics, they persisted in keeping their church doors open and worshipped Jesus Christ and nothing else, denying the worship of Mary and idols. This family was martyred last week in the middle of the night by henchmen using machetes who broke into their home while they were asleep. We have not confirmed this story, but have no reason to doubt its authenticity.
There's no reason to be for doubting it, because there's so many these Catholics have done that so many times. They're instructed to do that. It's not a church. It's the world's most dangerous cult. And for them to have the unmitigated gall to call themselves Christians is just the most unconscionable, nauseating thing that I can't even imagine. They're the most horrible monsters. Now, but I'm saying again that a lot of the people in that cult don't know the wickedness that it is, because some of the priests, Irish priests, you know, they say, oh, brother, you know, I mean, everything, you know, we love you, and come in, and they'll give you food, and they'll give you something if you'll go to go in there and say a few Hail Marys and so on, if you go to confession to this person. But they will never tell you to become born again of the Spirit. Even if they do, they won't tell you how. They outlawed the Bible. They're the ones that are causing the Bible to be taken out of schools. They're the ones that are causing the name of Christ to be taken out of Christmas. Of course, none of us are doing that, and I know a group of people that have just written some songs about that, not taking Christ out of Christmas, and there's a movie being made on that as well. And so, is that the end of that letter?
Just the close.
Okay. Well, we've sent these people $1,500 already. If you've got, you know, you just think about some of the stupid things that you spend money on. And, you know, you're robbing God if you don't take care of people like this. And really, we're financing our own ministry. We need more because we'd love to send to these people. But if you'd like to have their name and address and send money to them, well, we'll be glad to furnish you their name and address. Or you can just send it directly to us, and that's for sure. We'll get it to them. We've sent out a lot of money, thousands in the last month. I would say probably $30,000 or $40,000, and that may not seem a lot to some people, but to us it is, because we're not, you know, we don't have any multi-billionaires in our ministry. We have a lot of people that are we're not, you know, we don't get so much from tithes. We actually earn our money. A lot of our people work and make the money and bring it in. So in that sense, we do get tithes. But it goes out. When it comes in, it goes out. All right, then what?
Sincerely, Wayne and Connie, the least of all my brothers and sisters.
It's a humble couple. Praise the Lord for them. Okay, you got, let's read that one from Las Vegas.
Okay.
Just to show people that there are souls in Las Vegas that love the Lord.
From Las Vegas, Nevada. A fellow of mine presented me with a copy of Earthquake.
That's one of the pieces of literature that I had written a few years ago. Then what?
And I was very pleased to see that there are those who believe, as we do, that we are living in the last days. I will not try to preach to a ministry as strong as yours, but my fellow, who is a distributor from New York, was wearing one of your fantastic stone sweatshirts. I would like to also be one of your distributors here in the Las Vegas area.
You praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
To have distributors there. Then what else?
If this is all right with you, please start me off with 25 of the Earthquake. And he spoke of a book on the Old Testament, which refers to Jesus over 300 times. I would like 10 of those for myself.
That's the Messiah book.
And my associate and lay ministers. If you have 5 shirts for our pastors to wear, they are sizes 3, medium, to large, please. I would be interested in any or all of the writings you have. I feel that you are truly a prophet of our Lord Jesus Christ. He also said that you have broken down the Bible on audio tape. Many of our members are old and have trouble reading the Bible, as they cannot afford large print, and we are not in a position at this time.
For sure, send them all, you know, at least a half a dozen, 7 videotapes a week, or audio or videotapes per week. And then what else?
And we are a new group forming here, still looking and waiting on the Lord to provide for us. As soon as the church can do so, we will send you a monthly percentage as we can. If you could help us in these areas, I have a lot of members who come to us from programs, i.e. drug and alcoholics, who have just received the Lord. They range in ages from the youngest being 19 to 60. The younger ones are really on fire for God and are bringing in new perspectives all the time. We look forward to having literature for them to take out into the streets to start the new year. Thank you in advance. We await your response. Praising the Lord always, Reverend Dr. J.D., the New Kings Highway Ministry.
Praise the Lord. All right, so definitely make sure that they get the literature, and tell them I'd consider 25 pieces of literature like a drop in the bucket. I would that they'd be asking for 2,500 or 25,000 pieces. I'd pray that they'll really get on fire and hit all those casinos with all those cars out there and destroy them that way. All right, and so now let's begin with part 3 of Here I Am. This is another piece of literature that I wrote. I think it was back in 2002. Okay, let's go.
I see the Bible working throughout every day. I also see that the teachings of the world do not work at all. The people of the world are filled with confusion and the fear of death. Confusion and the fear of death are of the devil. When we have faith in God, we have victory over all things.
And primarily faith in Christ, because Christ is God. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
We have victory over all things, even the desire to sin, the desire to live the self-life, the desire to do our own will, and the desire to do the unprofitable things that the people of the world do.
All those desires leave when we're in the Sabbath of the Lord, when we're baptized into His rest, when we're there sitting with Him in heavenly places. Then what?
Quote, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, unquote. 1 John 5, verse 4. Again, there is nothing more important in the life of a Christian than for him to be led directly by the Holy Spirit. When we seek the Lord with our spirit, we will know what part of the Bible the Holy Spirit wants us to read. This is how we are able to know directly from God what is important for us to read. If we read the Bible without directions from the Holy Spirit, it will not be alive, it will not lift us up, and it will not give us maturity in the Spirit, which would help our spirit grow to the fullness of Christ's stature. Again, reading the Bible by, quote, the letter killeth, unquote, puts us spiritually to sleep and into darkness.
Now, being the fullness of Christ's stature is when all the true believers gather themselves together as one body. That's the only time that you can grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Don't ever think for one moment that you can serve the Lord alone and become part of the fullness of the stature of Christ without joining the entire body of Christ as one body, one spirit, one God, one Lord, and one word. Only one interpretation, and that's no private interpretation of the Bible. We can't just think what the Bible says. We must know what it says. And there is a definite one interpretation. That's the way it's just very easy to interpret. Then what?
But reading it in the Spirit brings forth life. If we preach and teach the Bible without being led directly by the Spirit, we are spiritually blind and dead. Our congregations will be spiritually blind and dead, and we shall all fall into the ditch, just as Jesus said we would. When we read the Bible, reading the Bible by the Spirit is the way we confirm the things God's Spirit is teaching us. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. If the Holy Spirit is leading you to read a passage, it will be the very thing that either you or somebody the Spirit through you will be dealing with sometime during the day. When you see this occur over and over again, it will give you more faith and more confidence that it is the Holy Spirit who is leading, guiding, and directing your spirit. This will also give you great comfort and peace, because you will know with certainty that God truly is with you, leading and guiding you. When we believe we are receiving spiritual insight or intuition from God to our spirits, we are commanded to always test the insight. The Apostle John tells it this way, quote, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God.
Because try the spirits. How do we try the spirits? We try the spirits by knowing the Word of God. And when somebody tells you something, then you check in the Word of God to see if it's true. If you've read the Word as long as I have, then you know whether something is true or false. Like, for instance, there's so many people that talk about a third heaven, that Paul said he went up to a third heaven. That is so bogus and false that it's unbelievable. He was making fun of a guy. He says, I knew a man who said he went to a third heaven. He said, such things are not lawful to say because they're unscriptural, is what he meant. He says, whether he was in the body, meaning whether he's in the body of Christ or no, he says, I can't tell because I've never heard such wonderful things that he taught. In other words, he's being facetious. Oh, you big bag of wind, such wonderful things you say. He said, but he said, I'll stick with the truth, you know, the word of God. So, and then he goes on in another place saying, anyone that preaches any other doctrine other than that which we have preached, not this buffoon or this bag of wind from the east, but what we have preached, let him be accursed. So this man was accursed. And so many ministers, I don't know one of them that doesn't preach the fallacy of that scripture. There's no private interpretation. It means just what it says. He's being facetious and mocking the man. Okay? Oh, this wonderful thing, human being that has risen to the... anybody, there'll be another person say, I went to the fourth heaven. And then some other nut will come and say, well, I went up to the 11th heaven. And then I'd have to say, such, what a miracle thing hath God brought forth here? Facetiously, of course. He says, I don't know whether this guy's in the body or not. But I know he's not, and I know so Paul did too, but he just is a real, very facetious type person, this Paul. And was trying, but you know, there's a lot of people that are not that swift. They're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, in other words. And I don't believe that they have both of their oars in the water. Okay? Then what?
Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, unquote, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. To make sure that it is the Spirit of God and not a foolish desire of our own, or the enemy speaking to our spirit, we must test whatever spirit is telling us something by immediately picking up the Bible to determine the source of the spirit speaking to our spirit, whether it is God.
Because there's so many seducing spirits today that are saying all kinds of bad things, of wanting to destroy your soul, saying that it's not right to marry. Like these Catholics, clergy, they believe it's wrong to marry. The Bible says that this is doctrine of devils. That's why they're committing adultery, and they're also committing pedophile, you know, with these little boys, homosexuals, and then they run to the Vatican, and the Vatican hides them because they're the Antichrist. Who would hide it? Somebody came and committed fornication or molested children in my organization, I'd throw them out of here so fast it'd make your head swim. They'd be the last people I'd ever protect. I'd cast them out into the world, as the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation says to do. It says measure people by the word of God to see if they're really keeping the Lord's commandments, and those that don't, place them outside the church with the Gentiles. In other words, the unbelievers. And, you know, the Vatican harbors murderers. They harbored the people that murdered Abraham Lincoln. There was more than John Wilkes Booth that he shot the gun. But there was a conspiracy of people that were involved with it. And they escaped to Canada. And then from there, the Vatican took them into Rome and hid them for years. I mean, this is history. History. Okay, then go ahead.
By picking up the Bible to determine the source of the
Spirit. Oh, I'd like to add one more thing here. Pope John Paul II was the one that worked for IG Farben Company, the ones that make Bayer aspirin and all other kind of quizzical things. And he made the poisonous gas for IG Farben when he was in Krakow, Poland, where they had the concentration camp over there. And he admitted that he had done that, but he said he was forced to do it. He wasn't forced to do it. He was hired by him, and he was also a poison gas salesperson to these different concentration camps. Do you think that if somebody tried to force me to sell cyanide gas to kill a bunch of Jews or Christians or anyone for no reason but because of the fact that they're Jews or black, that I would do that? You'd have to put a bullet in my skull or in my heart or someplace before I'd do something for that filthy bunch of devils. And we pray that these people will be saved, because there's really no hate in my heart for anyone other than Satan. And the Lord says that we are to hate Satan and love him. We cannot love two masters. We must hate Christ and serve the devil and love the devil, or love Christ and hate Satan. And I hate Satan. I do. And if you don't, well, then you're in trouble with the Lord, because he commands you to do it. It's one of his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's continue.
We must test whatever spirit is telling us something by immediately picking up the Bible to determine the source of the spirit speaking to our spirit, whether it is God, Satan, or our flesh. We are our own worst enemy. If we, by God's Spirit in us, have conquered our flesh, our self-life, we then have conquered everything, including sin, Satan, and the world.
And the way we conquer that, the way that we get the power to do that, is in the Lord's Sabbath, in his rest. Because that's where the Bible says the power is. Okay, then what?
God is not offended at our checking him out, because, again, the devil is very deceptive. He will counterfeit the Holy Spirit. We must then compare these words given to our spiritual intuition or insight with the Word of God, which is also spirit and life. When we do this, the Holy Spirit will guide us to the exact scripture or scriptures he wants us to compare with our spirit's intuition, our spiritual insight. If we do this, we will know whether it is the Spirit of God telling our spirit something, the counterfeit spirit of Satan telling our soul something, or merely an idea or thought of our own that our flesh would like to do. God is not contacting our flesh or our soul. He is contacting our spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. Once we, by the Bible, have detected the source of the voice who is talking to our spirit and discover it is God, we will have experienced a true revelation from God. This can happen hundreds of times every day to everyone who is being led directly by the Holy Spirit. If you will worship, serve, and seek God with your spirit, quote, he will be found by you, unquote. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. Many Christians have foolishly thought it smart to disobey God and only occasionally walk in the Holy Spirit. Years ago, God gave me a vision while I was sleeping. At first, the vision was pitch black. Then all of a sudden, I saw a fancy and costly pair of boots walking. However, the vision didn't show who the person was that was walking in those fancy, costly boots. The vision of the boots was very vivid and bright. Then it went to pitch black again. I now know that this was God telling me to get out of the business of designing and supplying fancy boots and clothing to the stars, so I would let God provide everything for me, as the Lord said he would. The Holy Spirit was directly telling my spirit, by way of this vision, that, quote, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, unquote. Money, the world. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He showed me that if we're not walking in the Holy Spirit, moment by moment, all day, every day, we are stone blind to the direct leading of God's Spirit. Many people hate and despise the things they are doing to make a living. They despise the business they are in, even though it is feeding them and paying the bills. They know it is a vicious circle, and they can't see how they can get out of it. I know they would if they thought they could. They need to ask themselves a few questions, such as, quote, I'm working myself to death. Who will get what I have earned after I die? And if no one cares about me other than the money I make, why am I knocking myself out for such people as this? And why am I not serving God, who would appreciate everything I would do for him, instead of humans who don't appreciate anything I do for them except the money I give them? And is love and friendship that is purchased worth anything? And why haven't I got the guts to drop everything in the world to serve God, when only God can give me eternal life? And if I don't drop everything that I'm doing in the world to serve God, will I go to heaven? unquote. The answer is no. No one who wars or fights Satan will be victorious against him if they are not led directly by the Holy Spirit. No one directed by the Holy Spirit will entangle himself, quote, with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, God, who hath called him to be a Christian soldier, a soldier who is led directly by the Spirit of God. And if a man also strive for masteries, that is, to always be led directly by the Holy Spirit, yet is he not crowned, not given the ability to always be led directly by the Holy Spirit, except he strive lawfully, unless he strives by being led directly by the Holy Spirit. Unquote, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. Happiness is not found in worldly goods or in how much money you have. Jesus said, quote, it is easier for a rope to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
This is the actual translation from Aramaic which Jesus spoke. He could have spoken Hebrew Greek, but the four Gospels were all done in Hebrew and Aramaic. The rest of the Gospel or the rest of the books from the book of Acts to Revelation were done in Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. Then what?
Matthew chapter 19, verse 24, Lamsa Aramaic Bible. Why? Because a rich man finds it harder to trust in God than in his riches. But neither he nor anyone else can take riches into heaven. Jesus states that if a rich man will turn to God and serve him, it is possible for him to enter heaven. Quote, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Unquote. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. No one who is rich will be eternally rich if they don't give up what they have done, what they have here in this world, to serve God and to be led directly by the Holy Spirit. They will be of the poorest and most miserable wretches eternally. The life we live in this world is too short to live it without God. We expire and stand before Him at judgment very soon. If we serve God with our spirits in this world by walking directly after His Spirit daily, He will open the gates of heaven wide for us and usher us into that place where, quote, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Unquote. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 10, original Greek. The rich man and the lukewarm Christians are stone blind. God wants to wash everyone's eyes with eye salve, His Word, and open them to spiritual insight, which is the voice of the Holy Spirit, speaking to their spiritual intuition and giving them revelation directly from God. Again, the Word of God is our spiritual eye salve, that which will open our eyes, reveal God's truth to us, and give us God's guidance and power. The Lord speaks to us all in these words of godly wisdom, so that we might be saved when we die. Today many people are saying, quote, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, unquote. Jesus says, quote, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, unquote. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 through 18, original Greek. This means we must be purged, cleansed from our spiritual blindness by doing what both His Word and His Spirit's direct teaching to our spirits tell us, which is to, quote, come unto Him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, with today's fears and worries. And Jesus promises, I will give you rest, Sabbath for your souls, unquote. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 29, King James Version, original Greek. This promise is fulfilled by our being led directly by the Holy Spirit. Jesus goes on to say that He is the only way, the only truth, and the only eternal life, and that, quote, no man can come unto the Father, can get into heaven any other way than by being led directly by Him, unquote. John chapter 14, verse 6. He means that we must always be led directly by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is, quote, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, unquote, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Jesus is truly the entire triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we do what he says and follow him, we will have true riches, eternal riches, riches that no one can take away. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We will be wealthy, rich, beyond our human imagination. We will have pure white clothing to wear throughout eternity. We will also be able to clearly see and understand the entire spiritual realm. Only after we are being led directly by the Holy Spirit will we know how blind, how stone blind we really were. Jesus tells us, quote, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent, unquote. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, original Greek. Jesus also tells us how to become directly led by the Holy Spirit in these words, quote, here I am, exclamation mark, I stand at the door of your will, your spirit, your inward man, and knock, just as if he were knocking at the door of your inside man with the desire for you to open up, unquote, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, original Greek. He wants your inward man, your spirit, to invite him with joy to enter into your human spirit so that you might become one with him. With his spirit mingled into our spirits, he can dispense his precious life from us into others.
All right, praise the Lord. I see that our time is up and we're going to have to go into part four. There's just a little bit more of part four, which will be a part four, and we'll be into another piece of literature tomorrow. I believe I'll go as the Lord leads, but right now, those of you that want to come into the Lord's rest, you want to be baptized into his Sabbath, you want to get your eyes off this world like all the rest of those of us that are in his body have done so that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven, just say this prayer. Don't be afraid to pray. Don't be afraid of the Lord. The Lord will not hurt you. All he wants to do, or he's ever wanted to do, is to help people. And he wants to, he died so that you could have the most fantastic, the fantastic is not a good enough word, place to live forever and ever in the kingdom of heaven and completely escape hell and the lake of fire forever. So right now say this prayer so that you can enter into the Lord's rest. Say to God with all your heart and soul, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Now just raise your hands and thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And keep praising him and thanking him all day until and all night until the next broadcast. Of course, you have to sleep. But until then, this is Pastor, World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, Lord bless you. God bless you real good. And praise the Lord. Amen.